He covers the Chiefs.
With that, I'm yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Flair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro. Curtis Siebold is here with a plate of chili.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Adam Dravetta, this is your 4 o'clock dinner.
Well, I,
what are
I
you,
made
100?
It.
Or is this lunch? You're late to lunch,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, it's late lunch. It's some my leftover chili, and they brought some of the stuff, the spice.
Oh,
the
spicy, I know. I had some of that. Spice.
And I was looking for the raspberry jalapeno.
Yeah.
I'm going to add to my chili.
Yeah,
so
it's very,
a little
very
bit
good.
Of sweet and spicy sound.
Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star is in studio. Blair, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Good to see you, Todd.
Now you're hungry. Right?
I am. Yeah. So Curtis has the early bird special going on here.
I think it's late lunch.
Yeah.
It's late lunch, yeah. Is what it is. All right, Blair, I'm going to start off talking a little college stuff right now because I've been, you know, it became official, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, that the start date for Houston, BYU, UCF, and Cincinnati coming into the league. That's going to be coming up. We're just a year and a week away, July 1. These schools are coming in into the league. And as of right now, this is going to be a 14-team league because Oklahoma and Texas aren't out. As all the smoke we see that, oh, there's negotiations of this, that, and the other, there's a real big number here, and they're going to negotiate this till the end. Where do you put the chances of there being the Big 12 having 12 teams, 12 universities a year from now, or are we looking at 14 for at least a year?
Well, I don't see any way possible you can avoid 14 for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
We're just too late, right, in the schedule. You can't put football schedule. They're already out, and you know arrangements have been made for football games this year. So for 2023. So you're talking about the following year.
The following year.
A few weeks ago I would have said no way it could happen. You're going to have 14. And it's just unavoidable. But then a couple of weeks ago, one of the Texas Longhorns beat writers for the Austin paper tweeted out that if there's going to be a 14-team league, it's only going to be for 1 year instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's hearing from Texas. And then I started to think, well, you know, if you're Texas and Oklahoma, you don't want a 14-team Big 12 at all. You want to go ahead and get life started in your new conference. Is there any way possible to have a Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC 2 years earlier? Are they willing to come up with whatever the tens of millions of dollars?
Supposedly, it's about $80 million. That's what the number. But I mean,
that's a huge chunk of change.
Even for Texas, who has all this money.
Yep. And so, I guess I would say if I had to put a pie graph out there now, pie chart, I would say the largest slice of the pie is still a 14-team league for the 23 football season.
Mm-hmm.
And then they figure out a way to get out of the last year. The money will be
$40 million, smaller,
right?
Yeah.
Half of that, and so they will Texas and Oklahoma will have such a terrible time. You know, in the
it's gonna be bad enough this
league.
Year.
Yep.
I mean, it was bad last year.
I remember what it was like for Missouri and Nebraska, their mm-hmm. last year in the Big 12, and how they did get hosed a little bit. I remember Nebraska had to play a bowl game against a team they'd played in the regular season because the Big 12 assigned them that.
Right.
I think it was Washington. I think they lost to Washington in the regular season, then they had to turn around and play them in a bowl game. And Missouri got hosed on a bowl that year. Or anyway, they were really unhappy. The league was really unhappy with Missouri because they wanted Missouri to stay for an extra year. Missouri wouldn't do it. So that alone, if you just take the Missouri example, it's been done. You know, you can just stay in a conference for less than a year. It was less than a year for Missouri.
Right.
And
yeah, because they officially announced that it was like sometime during football season.
Yes,
kind
it
of.
Was after the first week of the football season.
Yeah.
And So, yeah, my guess is too late for the, you know, for the 23 football season, but 24, which was supposed to be the last year of Texas and OU in the conference, they'll be gone.
So they're having meetings right now about all these things, trying to figure out what a schedule is going to look like with 14.
Whether to have divisions.
They're going to, you kind of have to, probably.
Well, but everybody else with 14 is doing away with divisions. They're all getting rid of them. So guaranteeing, you know, two great teams in the championship game. And with a 14-team league, that doesn't...
If they don't have... There's still going to be somewhat divisions for scheduling, but they just won't call them divisions.
Right, but right. And it, you know, unlike the Big 12, the other 14-team leagues that have that are going getting rid of divisions doesn't guarantee a rematch, you know, in the championship game. So that's a plus.
It could happen, but it doesn't guarantee. This is the one league where it's guaranteed now.
Yeah, that's right.
Guaranteed right now. So... Like the revenue that came out this year for the Big 12 was pretty good.
It was record
revenue for them, and that was great. So I get why UCF and Houston, who were getting something on under $7 or $8, $9 million from their league. So they're going to be incremental. They're not getting $40 million to start. This is the way they're going to kind of. You know, the loyalty will stay with the leagues, the teams that were there and all that, and they'll bracket themselves up. Will the numbers go up far enough in TV revenue and streaming and all those things to have Houston and Central Florida and Cincinnati and BYU equal what OU and Texas brought to keep them? What percentage do you think the Big 12 will lose?
That's a good question. I don't think that the four newcomers can ever, in value, brand value and financial worth, replace the two, Texas and Oklahoma. It just can't happen. So the question becomes, to what extent will the Big 12 become further behind? Not the Big 10 and the SEC, because they're going to lap everybody, but it's the Pac-12 and the ACC. And can the future Big 12 hang financially with those two leagues? That to me is the big question to ask, and how that's going to get resolved, because right now the Big 12 is number three, but it's number three on the strength of Texas and OU. You take Texas and OU out, and I don't care who you add that's not in the Power Five right now. You're just not going to replace that brand value. So, we would need somebody who's an expert in brand value to determine. Bob Bowlsby said it's 50% of the TV contract, right? Texas and OU is worth 50% of the Big 12 TV contract. Those other four aren't going to bring that 50% back. Mm-hmm. Do they bring 25% back? Will the Big 12 be 75% as valuable going forward as it is right now? Because if that's the case, I think that's not an unreasonable number. You know, let's just say, for argument's sake, it was each school got $40 million this year from the conference. If in the first year after Texas and OU leave, it's $30 million for Iowa State, for KU, for K-State, well, that's going to hurt. I mean, no doubt about it, that's going to hurt. But you're still a Power Five conference.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is where it matters the most. You always want to be a Power Five conference.
So Bowlsby's leaving. You know, they need to have a commissioner who can get a lot of these things done. And I think people make fun of Bob Bowlsby because he's a little bit boring in news conferences and things like that. But I think he has been a very strong leader who's helped them manage a very difficult time.
No doubt about it.
And I think maybe it's not all exciting sometimes, but I think that he's done a nice job through very difficult circumstances. Then there have been a couple of stretches of very difficult circumstances, and I don't think it was all that great last time through when they had Chuck Ninas coming out of retirement and trying to fix things. And, you know, that wasn't – they needed Bob Bowlsby probably then. They didn't get him until a little bit afterwards.
Right.
But
he replaced the interim.
You know, what happened then – when you lose four teams and have to add two, that's probably worse than losing two and adding four. I don't know, but what Texas especially is compared to, you know, losing Colorado or Missouri or even Nebraska is a bigger deal. So I don't know if this is a we can't go back in time. I would love to go back to the original Big 12. I thought it was great.
Oh, I would too.
I thought it was great.
I think about that a lot, though.
How much worse is what we have now compared to the original Big 12? And then how much worse is what it's going to be compared to what we have now? I mean,
when you try to think about where it was and where it is, the is part is the present tense is all kind of predicated on football, right? And when the old Big 12 was going, you couldn't have a football national championship game without Texas or Oklahoma or Nebraska in it. I mean, how many they were in? I don't know, 7 of the first 10 or something. They were even maybe greater than that. So that's why the Big 12 was great then, because their football was nationally great. Well, you know, ever since realignment, the first phase of realignment, 2010, 2011, 2012. Football hasn't been great. They haven't won a national championship. And Texas and Oklahoma are the problems there, especially Texas, not being nationally competitive. So I would say that the greatness of the first half of the Big 12 history was because their football was great. And no matter what has happened since then, Kansas basketball has been excellent. Kansas State's had moments. Iowa State football's at its peak right now. Oklahoma's won all the conference championships. Because they can't win a national championship in football, it's seen as less now than it used to be in the first dozen years of the existence.
Yeah, and I think A&M hasn't won at all or anything like that, but their revenues have gone up and they've gotten stronger as far as, the dough, right? And
they have,
their football, it's tough in football to try to win in the West down there. So they maybe haven't done as good, but I think Nebraska, you talk to any Nebraska fan, they're just not what they were when they were here. They're afterthought in the Big Ten, and they hire coaches who look like they should be home run hires, and it hasn't happened yet. We're getting 3, 4, 5 years into these, Fred Hoiberg and Scott Frost things, and it's not happening for them. I think you talked to a lot of these people. I don't know if A&M would come back. And I know a lot of Missouri fans would love to play Kansas every year, and K-State, they're playing K-State this year. Yeah. Maybe they wouldn't mind being back in this thing. We can't go back in time to fix this deal.
I know Nebraska would love to play KU and K-State in Iowa State.
For sure, in
football and basketball on a regular basis.
They played Oklahoma last year. They're going to play them again this year. It was a great old rivalry, and everyone loves that rivalry and really got a lot out of it and enjoyed it. But I just think that what we're going to look at going forward – and the nitty-gritty at the level that we don't talk about on sports talk shows or write about in the paper, unless it's a detailed thing about budgets, man, it stinks for baseball teams to have to go to West Virginia to play. Well, now you're going to go to Florida, and you're going to go to West Virginia, and you're going to go to BYU, and then they got dates they don't play in BYU days of the week. It's going to complicate a lot of things. So if you're probably going to make a little less money, I'm talking about the existing Big 12 teams,
right,
and it's going to cost more money to do some things, this may be even worse than it was last time.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that from a reputation standpoint, they're going to lose out on that level. Here's something. I was just looking this up the other day. There's one NCAA championship left, right? Baseball. Mm-hmm. And either a Big 12 or an SEC school is going to be the baseball champion. If it's an SEC school, if it's Arkansas or Ole Miss, the SEC will have won 7 national championships this year. Right now, the Big 12 has won 7, the Pac-12 has won 7, the ACC has won 7, and the Big 10's won 6. That, to me, seems like there is great parity in college sports around the country right now. Well, you take Oklahoma and Texas out of the Big 12 and put them in the SEC, the Big 12's down to 1.
Right.
Kansas basketball, and the SEC has 13. So, if football didn't drive everything, you would look at the map of NCAA championship and say, how could it be more equitable in among the Power Five conferences than that right now? But that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. Texas and Oklahoma went for, financial security, financial strength. That's what the SEC offers. It's certainly what Missouri is, enjoying right now, even without the success of teams.
And Nebraska's getting big checks,
checks. That's for us in Kansas City, we look.
That's how we look at it.
Yeah, our Kansas City worldview, it looks like what a bad move for Nebraska. That hasn't, you know, hasn't panned out for them at all. And boy, don't we wish Missouri got to, you know, we play our schools.
Yeah, that Missouri somehow made a bad move because there aren't any fans at the Big 12 tournament anymore.
That's right.
What is that really worth to them?
And listen, this is what it's going to change. I mean, it's been a while now. I mean, it's been over a decade. These teams are out of here. So there are the kids who go to school at Mizzou now don't remember anything about rivalries with everything. Same thing with the ones in Nebraska. So time will change all of those things. But for people of our age, we're like, dude, it's just not as good. As we're speaking of this, Tim Brando, who works for college football on Fox, he says Texas football is likely to remain in the Big 12 for at least two more seasons and not leave until 2025. So now he's pretty well connecting a lot of these things. He says this is a short-term boost for the league as it negotiates a new TV deal. And he says, full disclosure, it doesn't hurt his feelings that Fox will get some Arch Manning is the big news today. Manning is set to go to Texas. Now, who knows if he'll be playing then, because they already have the five-star quarterback, Quinn Ewer, who, you know, was from South Lake Carroll, is already there. I mean, who knows? They could all not even sign, could transfer, could do whatever. But if it's going to be weird, at least they've got it to the point where there's not going to be a year with an odd number of teams, which looked like it was possible, right, when they named these things. Because BYU is the one. I just saw BYU announce the other day they've had a long-standing, like, long-term deal with Stanford. They've canceled them all. I remember watching their announcement when they announced they were coming to the league. Every one of the contracts that they've written for football games has been cancelable with, you know.
Yeah.
It's because they've known they've been maybe looking for a league. They're not coming from the same spot that, like, UCF.
And teams and conferences.
They control their own stuff. Their revenues last year were like $39 million coming in, which is that's about
Big 12.
Big 12, Power 5 type money. And so they're going to be in a different spot. These others are. They don't want to get left out in the cold because they know they're not Notre Dame, right?
That's right.
Well, and Notre Dame's kind of halfway in the league now anyways.
They are. Notre Dame's in a unique – you know, obviously Notre Dame is a entity unto itself, but – but BYU is too. It just doesn't have the historical strength that Notre Dame does. Mm-hmm. But you're right. They're the one that could operate as an independent and be financially fine because of their fan base.
It's interesting. I was talking with Ethan, one of our interns here. He goes to BYU. It was when the Women's College World Series was going on, and I was like, "Did they play softball at BYU?" And he goes, "Yeah, I think they do." I mean, you know, he doesn't really pay attention. Right. I looked it up. They had a really good record, but they didn't get a bid. And they were like, "Why didn't we get a bid?" Well, that's where you need to be in a league.
That's right.
And that's where you'd like to be in the league, because then the league's going to be, "Oh, well, you played in the Big 12. You put this record up in the Big 12. You're going to get a bid. You get to be in a regional." They were like 40-something and 11 and didn't get in.
Playing a bunch of big skies, I imagine.
So they wanted – the record probably wouldn't be as good if they're in the Big 12. But then you compete against those teams,
right,
and then you get that bid, and you're not in a – when you're by yourself, you're not even in a one bid league. You're in, you better go do what you're doing in football. So, you know, the way those sports work, it's better to be in one of these leagues where it happens.
No doubt.
I think one of the incredible things, I'm looking this stuff up, and, you know, you were just talking about football and how, you know, since whatever, when Florida in 06 or 07, when they got to play Ohio State, that's kind of started it. And, you know, Saban got to Alabama.
That's when the SEC, I remember I covered that game, and I remember thinking going into that game, Ohio State's the best. That was the year that Ohio State and Michigan were undefeated going into their right, and went undefeated going into their game. And the talk after that game was, well, maybe those two teams should play again for the national championship.
Well, I would have watched it. It was a great game.
Right, it was Ted Gidd Jr. Remember for Ohio State, and then there's this Florida team without a quarterback.
You know, Chris Leak.
Right.
Tim Tebow
was a freshman
gadget guy.
Yeah, and it's like, Ohio State's going to crush these guys.
So then they won.
Florida wins.
And then, the next year, Missouri and Kansas play each other and knock each other out, and then Missouri couldn't beat Oklahoma.
And then LSU wins.
Two-loss team gets to go win. You know, and then now Nick Saban's got it up and running at Alabama a couple years in, and then everything's kind of changed.
But you're right. But the other thing, sorry to interrupt your train of thought. I thought the other big pivotal moment for college football, it always goes back to what we were talking about, was when Florida beat Oklahoma. And the Sam Bradford Oklahoma team that was scoring 60 on everybody. And I just remember thinking, that's, you know, there's the clash of philosophy there. It's because that was the yeah, peak.
Like four straight 60-point games heading into that championship game, right?
And that was and everybody in the Big 12 was scoring. That's when Kansas put 76 on Nebraska, and everybody was scoring huge numbers with these with the no huddle offense. But the SEC wasn't playing that way.
Bob Stoops would love to go back and take back about four of his play calls at fourth and goal and all this.
Oh,
stuff.
At the end of the first half.
Oh, it was all terrible. They probably. Could have still won the game.
Yep.
They played pretty well on defense. Florida was really talented on offense.
Yep.
I would say they might have killed some people. No, it's a bad Aaron Hernandez joke. I'm sorry. But
that was bad.
Those, and then since then, it's just been the SEC's kind of running things. Yep. So that's what football's turned into, okay? So I'm watching College World Series. This may boggle your mind to know this. The SEC, and it's basically the SEC Invitational because they're all in this thing. And they've won a whole bunch, right? It's like Ole Miss is there now against Arkansas, looking to go to the final. Mississippi State won last year. Vanderbilt won the year before. I mean, this is like Vandy, okay? Not to mention the fact that Florida's been good and South Carolina won a couple of times and blah, 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 all this stuff. Do you know they didn't win a College World Series until 1990?
Right.
That's where baseball has moved. Baseball was Southern Cal and Arizona State.
It was the West.
All this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And heck, Wichita State had its, right. had its moments.
The World Series a bunch of times.
Cliff Gustafson at Texas. And I remember writing about this in when LSU started its dynasty in baseball, that I had SEC people tell me in the press box in Omaha that the football success was really instrumental in baseball, because the money that they were making in football, they were able to improve their facilities and build them up. And now they have incredible facilities at SEC schools, baseball facilities, able to attract recruits. And now all those schools recruit the very best baseball players in the country, guys that are, you know, that are going to be first-round draft picks, that are negotiating between a college scholarship at LSU or Vandy and signing.
And these are not revenue drags at all these schools.
No,
makers.
Nope. In fact, the other day I watched one of those SEC 30 for 30 things on the Mississippi State team of the 80s, the Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro, and that team. And they had two pitchers, a Thigpen and I forgot who the other one was.
Yeah,
Brantley.
There was another one.
Brantley.
Yeah.
Couldn't win.
Didn't win it.
Didn't even get to the championship game of the College World Series. And so you're right. The SEC was really inconsequential in baseball on a national level until the LSU started winning it in the early 90s.
Yeah, they had not won it, and now it's a super shock if there's not four or five teams in the field, and then if they don't win it. Now they don't win them all, because like Oregon State was very good for a while and won some, and
Coastal Carolina.
Coastal got there, but it's basically turned into. We've been watching more of these games this year because Oklahoma's been in it, and they're in the final now. So I paid a little more attention, but it's all easily available too. It's all on ESPN Plus, and you can watch these things. And they were talking about how the SEC tournament is the SEC tournament, and then in a couple of days they're going to probably, most of the teams might be at a regional with each other, and then a super regional with each other, and they really play a lot of baseball against each other when it comes down to it. And listen, it's great for them, and but I don't think it's great for everyone else.
No, of course it's not.
But people have to engage in it. Like Southern Cal has won. I think they've won more college baseball titles than anyone, but they have not been to Omaha in 20 years.
I didn't realize it's been that long.
Been 2001's last time they were there. Now they have said. They're on the record. We're going to commit to baseball and start putting money in it and doing these things. Because UCLA's been there, and they've done it. And
they have, yeah.
Southern Cal's just Southern Cal just got lost their way in a lot of ways in recent years. And now, Lincoln Riley's there, and they said, we're going to do all these things, and we're going to do it. So we'll see if it gets done. But these kids are just going to these schools at LSU, man. And, the great kids in Kansas City, there's five kids playing for Arkansas
from Kansas City. Yeah.
Oklahoma's got a couple kids on from Kansas City. It's just like... It makes it tougher for them to go get that done. Anyway, that's that. We'll stop the college football and baseball talk for a little bit and go on and talk a little World Cup next, because that was a very exciting thing that you were down at a week ago today. We found out Kansas City was going to get the World Cup. Blair Kirchhoff from The Star is in studio on the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Four players taken with the number one overall pick in the NBA draft went on to be head coaches in the NBA. Todrick Lebo. You got one right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Which one did you get right off the bat?
I got one who was not a very good coach, but he was a great player. He only coached, he was like interim.
Okay. Then we're not thinking the same. I was going to say Bob Cousy.
Mm-mm.
No?
Magic was the guy I was thinking.
Oh, of course,
Urban
Magic.
He got to
Magic
coach a little bit.
Johnson.
How about Jason Kidd? Was he an one more?
No. No. I think he was two or three.
Oh.
Three of them were in the 70s. One was in the late 50s. Magic Johnson, John Lucas.
Oh, John Lucas.
Doug Collins,
I got with the hints. When you said the 72 Olympics.
And the first one, the 1958 Elgin Baylor.
Ah, how about that?
The departure point for this was Phil Nevin being the only Major League Baseball player to be number one overall and become a manager. It has never happened in the NHL. Once in the NFL, Harry Gilmer, who was number one overall pick in 1944 or 46.
Oh, it's 46.
Coached a couple of years for the Lions, but four of the six who have ever done it are in the NBA.
I remember covering Phil Nevin at the College World Series.
Mm-hmm. Was he Cal State?
I think he was Fullerton.
Yeah, one of those. Crazy stuff. Blair Kirkhoff is here. And Blair, last Thursday, you were on a little bit early because you were heading down for this big announcement that was happening at the P&L with the World Cup. And I think it's huge. I mean, it's absolutely monstrous for Kansas City to be included in this group of cities. And it's, listen, it's different because there's going to be 48 teams and there's more games, whatever. You're in the field, okay? We get to host one of these things. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about and see what sort of stuff, because I remember, I don't remember what year this was, 12 years ago probably, when they, I remember going out to a press conference at Arrowhead Stadium when they were announcing their intentions to be part of the bid that was supposed to get this World Cup that America didn't get, and Kansas City wanted to be a part of it, and Clark Hunt was out there, and like Mark Donovan and all these guys, and they were talking. Clark walked us all around the stadium. He was talking about having to cut seats out and do all this stuff. So I knew they'd been very committed to this. And you need the NFL team committed. You need Cliff Hillig committed. You need all of those things committed to do this. And it's exciting. And we'll find out in 4 years what games you're going to get here, what dates, and all that stuff. And, you know, don't expect Team USA to be here, but who knows? I don't know. Could be the middle of America and get it done. What sort of undertaking is this going to be for the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium to make this thing FIFA compliant? I mean, how many seats are they talking about cutting out? How quickly can they do it?
How much is it going to cost?
What's it going to cost?
Who's going to
pay for it? All those kind of things.
Yeah, those are all questions that are still out there on the table, at least for public consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it that came up with the $50 million tag? Somebody in the last couple of months, I remember somebody saying it was going to cost $50 million to get Arrowhead up to FIFA compliant, and that is take out the corners and lose 5,000 total seats, anywhere between 5,000 and 10,000 total seats. The question I have is, what happens after that happens, and how does that impact what the Chiefs want to do with the stadium and what they're, you know, what they're going to ask the public to help support, assuming the Royals get the same have the same ask and support for their downtown
stadium.
That's
how their lease is now.
Yep.
They're supposed to get the same amount.
That's right. Exactly.
But everything's negotiable.
Yes. And it will be negotiated. All those are good questions that all we can do right now is speculate. But as soon as the 2025 NFL season is over
for
the Chiefs.
Get the concrete saws out.
Yes, they absolutely are. And they'll have however many months to be ready. And you wonder if, you know, in some of these cities there'll be friendlies and international games played. And games have been played. Obviously, the soccer has been played in current Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
The Wiz and the Wizards played there. There have been international games played.
Yeah.
So they've played on what's there now. But And I assume that can continue to happen up until the time that the first World Cup game is played. Then you're going to be – every stadium has to be the exact same size. And
That needs to have at least 75 meters wide. And they have room for that, but then you couldn't kick a corner kick.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You couldn't have a bench. You know, you need those other parts. I think one of the most amazing things is they just built a how-many-billion-dollar stadium in L.A., and they got to do the same thing.
Yes.
Today.
Yeah,
How did they not think – I get why Arrowhead in 1972 was opened up, not FIFA compliant.
Right, I understand
that part of
Miami's it. Miami's the one stadium that was built with soccer in mind, where the Dolphins played.
Yeah, because it's
you always had all this space
yep. on the sides.
Yeah, when we're down there for the Super Bowl and you go to, for any Dolphins game, there's incredible space. It's like, what do they do? Why is there so much space here? Well, this is why, because they want soccer.
And anymore, a lot of these are built that way. I mean, there's most of them don't have to do this. But the SoFi thing just boggles my mind.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And Stan Kroenke owns part of an English Premier League team.
He'd be the one guy who'd have his ear to the ground.
Yeah, might know a little bit about
it. On, man. So this is going to be interesting, because what the Chiefs could do is they could just put the seats back how they were. Or maybe they'll make some really expensive club-level seating things down there.
Which we
or maybe,
we,
you know.
We thought about that, and maybe the ground area of Arrowhead will look like Jerry Jones Dome
with those little field-level suites.
Yes, all
suites.
The field-level suites, which are really cool.
I wouldn't want to watch a game.
I was
going to
say,
myself,
having not experienced one, I don't know how much obstruction there is.
Well, down there, you look up at the monstrous scoreboard,
exactly.
and you can see it. But you'd be looking at everyone's calves and the scoreboard.
That's right.
Like, I've sat in a dugout suite at the K. I don't prefer it. I'd rather sit somewhere else. I'm not saying I'm too fancy for this. But, I mean, those are nice things. It's a neat deal. But it's not a good way to watch a baseball game.
Although you mentioned that they'll be starting as soon as the season ends. I think they're pulling for a 7 seed for the Chiefs that year. Roadies all the way.
Clark Hunt's not.
Start around January 1st, right.
Clark
February
Hunt is
5th.
Not doing it. There are some things to be said now. Now, also, obviously, the Royals are on the record saying they're exploring downtown baseball or other baseball somewhere else.
Right.
I have heard a train of thought that they would love to do this sooner than later. At the least goes to 31. But if they have the World Cup and they get games at Arrowhead Stadium and it takes like a month to have games, they're not playing the A's midweek here.
No,
that could
that's
look
right.
like a 30-game road trip or something when you're at that place.
No, that's right. I was thinking about that. What the World Cup schedule in Kansas City would look like if Kansas City gets the other thing we don't know about the World Cup is how they're going to assign nations to cities and places. Would each of the 16 cities get their own group of three? Because that's what's going to be, right? Groups of three.
Different groups.
For the pool, would Kansas City get all those games? So we're trying to guess how many games. I think what will happen in the group play, you'll have 3 games in 2 weeks. And then a week later, a knockout round.
And I think they're going to be a knockout round here because there's going to be 16 knockout games in the first one.
Yeah, so everybody's getting a knockout round game too.
Yeah.
The question becomes, when it goes from 16 to 8, will they get a quarterfinal,
right.
which or a round of 16, which I think they could.
Sure.
Especially if
it's 8 more places,
they love,
right?
Yeah, they love the same. So that, you're right. That means Arrowhead Stadium is going to be occupied for a month.
And it's not just the stadium. It's the grounds. It's tents. It's things. It's corporate this,
That's
corporate
right.
that, buses in and out. And,
yep.
You
so
know,
is will you know like the Omaha Storm Chasers during the College World
yeah,
Series?
Yeah, they used to have to take the road trip.
You will play in Iowa for a month.
People were talking. I guess they do that in San Antonio with the Spurs as a rodeo thing or something. Back. It has used to happen, and then they're gone.
That's right.
You just got to go on this trip.
Yeah.
And do that. So I had heard this thing where people – now, I think right now we're sitting here, it's June whatever, 2022. I think if they said, oh, you can have a stadium as soon as you want it, I still think it's nearly impossible to build a stadium and get
too.
It done before the 2026
right.
baseball season. But if you said you get it started by June of 2026, that's 6 months better. I don't know. But that's getting out of a lease. I mean, there are so many layers of crap in our county, in our two states, in our cities – that it seems nearly impossible. I think back to the fact that we're building a new airport now, and honestly, there Burns and McDonald wanted to just build it, and then we're the powers that be in the county level were like, no,
not how it works.
We're not just going to let you just build something. Well, why not, man? And now now it's going to be done by 2026. For the World Cup, it's going to be done.
Oh, it's going to be the airport's going to be done.
It's going to be done
by the NFL draft.
But it might
year.
Be done already if they hadn't fought.
They
about
did.
This
they did
stuff.
Fight. They did fight for a while.
And they're going to fight about whatever happens with these two teams. And how united are they right now? You think the two?
Well,
teams?
Well, I'll tell you what their interests align because of the World Cup. So the Chiefs are very interested in what the Royals want and John Sherman want to do, and. And you're right. John Sherman's on record as saying he wants, you know, he would love to go downtown. I think, how long does it take to build a downtown ballpark? Is it 2 years? You think 2 years or more? I mean,
probably more. I mean, the way things are.
Maybe
they were supposed to be in SoFi and they had to wait a whole other year.
Right. So,
and that was a bigger stadium, whatever.
Assume everything runs on time, on schedule, let's say 3 years. If that's the case, you got to start next year for downtown baseball.
You got to negotiate leases, you got to do this.
Right, and you're going to want public money, you got to put it on the ballot, team stinks, nobody's feeling good about the Royals.
You don't think either one of these places are going to build it themselves? No. You think they're going to have the hand out a smidge? Is it going to be a bi-state thing? Is it going to be just a Jackson County thing, a Kansas City thing? I mean, there's so many parts to this.
With all the parts, and we're unique because of our setting, our two-state setting, the fact that they got the World Cup and needed the cooperation from Kansas and Missouri, and that's a big-time tribute to the politicians on both sides, to the city officials, and understanding what the enormity of the
and that's coming together for something common. And the Royals and Chiefs came together for something common when they got the vote done to renovate those places because they both wanted something, and they both wanted the same thing. They both wanted to be there,
and they know there'll be a big
and make their places better.
Yes, and there's a big reward for having it.
What I worry about now is they both want the same thing, maybe, which is like a new stadium or a freshened up stadium. But do they both want it? Like the Royals obviously don't want it there, so they want to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Would the Chiefs be happy just being where they are, or like the, you know, Kansas is going to sit there and try to court them and go out there, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're breaking the leases. I don't know if they're rowing the boat the same direction now.
Maybe I think to me the decision that the Chiefs have to make is, do you want? Let's just assume the Royals will end up downtown. So to me, the decision the Chiefs will end up making is, do you want to level Kauffman Stadium and create your entertainment district there, like the Packers and the Patriots and the Cardinals with Ballpark Village? Or is there just no hope for the development in that area that can support that idea? Mm-hmm. And then, to me, the idea of moving to Kansas for the Chiefs isn't so much an Arrowhead Stadium over there, it's a training facility over there. And do you create a year-round training facility like
Cowboys
like
have.
The Star in Frisco and make that the new development while you figure out what to do at
The games are at this place, but we're out here practicing. We have training camp. We have all this stuff.
And year-round, you know, there'll be a mini convention center or whatever. You know, just something to for the entertainment purposes. That's why it's keep
many NFL places. That's what they have. They're you know, you go to the practice facility, and the Chiefs' practice facility is in the shadow of the other one.
That's right.
But it could be 20-minute drive here. You know, with Forest Park, Illinois, or whatever. Right. You know, where the Bears are, and then so there are a lot of them are that way. So I could maybe see that, but that is also not going to be some little small affair. That's going to
No. But it's not only is it not a small affair, but then you're asking only one side of the state, one side of the population to pay for that.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen the development of what's going on in Lenexa, like at 95th Street and 435. New convention center, hotels. The development's incredible. What's happened at that intersection? And I'm wondering if you couldn't put a Chiefs practice facility out there.
Right. With apartments.
Yes.
Yeah. Businesses, yep. Whatever, convention center.
Very quickly, sorry, Curtis. This is pertinent to a conversation you guys were just having. For a local example of a downtown ballpark, New Busch Stadium broke ground January of 2004. For games that began April of 06, so about 27 months.
Mm-hmm. Downtown there. They owned a lot of that land already. Now, the Royals, I think, own this chunk they're talking about on the east side of downtown. Mm-hmm. Or not them, but Dunn.
Dunn. Who is a part owner.
He's a part owner.
Yep.
So they've got some spots there where that part's not. But it only takes one holdout to, you know, one little plot. Where they say, we don't want to do this.
And think about this. Speaking of one little holdout, all of a sudden, yeah, we just...
And I'll say this also. The Cardinals built their stadium. I don't believe there's... They own that stadium. It's not owned by some St. Louis County trust thing. I think they got some tax bits here and there. But it's not like they asked for $200 million.
And went to the World Series the first year it was open.
Right.
So,
it's guaranteed it'll happen.
That's exactly right. Would you build a new...
would you pay a quarter cent to go to the World Series one time? Royals fans would say yes.
Yes, I think they would. God, I forgot what I was going to say.
Curtis had some.
Oh, see, part of my job is to oftentimes just answer a question you guys had like 10 minutes ago. So I was looking 94. There were nine sites in 94. Eight of those nine sites hosted not just the three group games, but also the first round, the round of 16. So assuming that Arrowhead is one of those.
Yeah.
And
well,
how,
it's going to be
that
a
would...
weird deal this time because there's 16 groups of three, not eight groups of four. It's going to be weird. But in the knockout stage of 32, I think it'd be great if they got a 16-round knockout. I mean, I think they're going to get like five games. I mean, there's going to be.
I think everybody's guaranteed four, and then half of them are going to get a fifth, and then a sixth or seventh. You know,
yeah, they probably won't like do knockout for. I mean, New York's not going to get 90 games, okay?
Right?
Because they still want it. They want people to go around, and you know, they got to do all the different bits there. The final's not going to be here. That's going to be in L.A. or New York,
or semifinal won't be here. But up until a quarter,
I think there'll be a semifinal in Mexico City. Probably, I could see maybe the semifinals won't be in America. Maybe they'll be in Canada and Mexico, and then the final will be in America. I mean, because we keep forgetting that it's North America here, and Mexico City's big ass deal. I mean, you got 100,000 people.
No doubt. That's why I think Mexico City's going to get the first game.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing.
The first one.
Get the first game and then a major game later on. I think Mexico will play in the opening game. And hey, one thing about the format is there are not going to be any ties. So everybody in the group is either going to be everybody's going to be 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2.
Right.
That's guaranteed. So if you win a game, you're guaranteed to advance.
Which is also good that there won't, you know, they'll be playing to win and they'll have extra time and they'll do the whole thing and it'll be good, because what you don't want to do is like spend a whole bunch of money to go out there and watch a nothing game, because everyone's like, let's just chill. We just need a point. Let's get after this thing, you know.
Right. Well, to me the question is if you play your group's first game and you win, how much do you want to win the second game?
Right, that way you may rest or whatever. Yeah. It's a World Cup like none other. It'll be different than they've ever had before. That's no doubt about it. Blair Kirkhoff from the KC Stars here. Welcome back into the program. Blair Kirkhoff from the Star is here with us for his weekly visit. We're watching Ole Miss and Arkansas. The Hogs are down to their last six outs, down 2-0. Ole Miss has just really been pitching up in Omaha. So we have a lot of Arkansas fans here in town, because I think about every other person's kid goes to Arkansas now. We have a couple of Arkansas interns. They do a reciprocal tuition thing
down
there.
That's exactly. I was
going to
mention that.
The state line.
You can pay the same tuition in Arkansas as you do going to Mizzou if you live on the Missouri side and the Kansas side
too. Yep. So there's a whole bunch. It's not a long drive
down there. What a smart thing for Arkansas to do.
They've had a bunch of kids go down there and they're nervous right now. Our Arkansas interns are nervous. So they're none of them are here today. They were all here yesterday, but they're not here today. I don't know where they all are. I don't know where they are. They're probably home watching the game right now, worried about it. They should be worried. But the Hogs are – we saw Dayton Moore out there at the See You in the Major Leagues Foundation thing, and he had moved his availability to Monday, because I think they were a little unsure exactly how it was going to go with the College World Series and how he was going to drive up there. I'm sure he came back and was at the camp. He's there hands-on every day, but I bet he drove right back up there.
Commuting, yep.
Yeah, and maybe today, because the camp ends today – this didn't start till 3. I bet he wasn't super excited about it starting at 3. I bet he's up there now. I mean, he's a proud papa. Robert Moore has been a really good player. He left school a semester early in high school to go up there and play, and he's just one of like five local kids on Arkansas.
Coached by a Kansas City guy, Dave Van Horn, who Winnetonka, coached at Winnetonka at one time.
Tonka. So
coached at Nebraska.
One of the better local team nicknames, the Griffins.
The Griffins.
Yep.
We were trying to talk Nate the other morning. We were talking about tattoos, and Nate Bucati almost got a tattoo when he was in Scotland. He was going to get the lion, the Scottish lion, and there's a Polish eagle. And I said, well, that's just a griffin. Well, he didn't want to put them together. And luckily, they didn't give him his tattoo. But I'm like, that's just all that is. It's just a griffin, man. It's what it is. It's how it goes.
I can see Nate with a tattoo.
I would... there's a lot of good baseball talent in Kansas City, because we have a lot of really good academies, like, you know, what McIntyre's was all those years, and Building Champions. And
it's been incredible. That's, you know, in terms of, I bet over the last 20 years, percentage of state champions, I'm just thinking on the Kansas side, Missouri, it's true of Missouri too, but especially on the Kansas side, percentage of state championships won, I bet baseball's as high as as any of the other sports in terms of winning state championships.
And these kids are getting real opportunities. Now, listen, Bubba Starling gets drafted and gets $7 million. So there's some of that, but there's also kids getting a chance to go play at these high-level programs.
For sure.
And then getting drafted and, you know, having their dreams to make the major leagues.
Ryan Stanek, Blue Valley kid who was on the mound for the Astros in the World Series last year.
Absolutely. And there's been some others. The Missouri side, at least some at West, had a bunch of kids. Harrison was drafted and made the majors. Matt Hall made the majors. Alex Lang pitching the majors right now. And he went to LSU, right? You're going to go down to LSU. LSU comes to get you. Then you can be a first-round pick. So there's a lot of those kids who have gone out there and played at those places. And I feel good for all of them to get a chance to go do this and, you know, maybe win it all, but maybe not. And only going to be one who gets it done. So the Hogs need to go score some runs now. And I want them to play 18 innings today.
Yeah, I know you would. But I'll tell you what. There was a time when I would have unequivocally pulled for the Big 12 team in the final, your Sooners. I don't know how I feel about
that. Come on now. What about me?
All right. When you make it personal like that, absolutely I'll pull for Todd.
Because I'm the good Oklahoma guy. I'm not one of these jerks like everyone thinks the Sooners fans are. Curtis even likes me. And there's no reason for a Missouri guy to like an Oklahoma guy.
They've cost us a Final Four and a trip to the national championship game in football.
That's right.
See?
Yeah.
So, of course, he's rooting for me to be happy.
I'll pull for the Sooners.
We haven't had any good things happen. Our football coach ran out on us.
That's right. Yeah, never any fortunate Oklahoma.
Never. Baseball hasn't won a World Series since 94.
94.
It's been so long. Blair, thanks for coming by, man.
All right.
All right, when was the last time that freshmen went 1, 2, 3 in the NBA draft? Brought to you by Good Sense.